This is a familiar folk, sort of a spiritual, angels watching over me. And it's really brief, so I thought, well, let me just add to it. So, watching over me, my Lord, all day, all night, angels watching over me. When I sleep and when I wake, angels watching over me, my Lord. Every breath I take, angels watching over me. There's an angel watching o'er me. I can feel it, I can feel it. There's an angel watching o'er me. If I listen, I can hear. God provides an angel from the moment we are born. There's an angel watching o'er me from morn until morn. Watching over me. With every step I take, angels watching over me, my Lord. And with every breath I take, angels watching over me. When I'm frightened or in danger, they surround me and protect me. There's no darkness that overpowers me. They're the beacon that lights my way. I know that I am safe in the hollow of God's hands. I am blessed with an angel all night and all day. All night, all day, angels watching over me.
Beautiful, Bonnie. Thank you. And it was a treat. Now for our other treat, we have a guest speaker, our very own Pat Harris, and she comes with a lot of a wealth of knowledge. And being a Black History Month, a notable fact that she was the first Black engineer registered in the state of North Carolina.
Architect
registered. Female registered in the state of North Carolina. I'm just screwing it all up. She'll just talk about the accolade. Please welcome Pat Harris.
Oh, good morning, folks.
Good morning.
I've been looking forward to this moment for several weeks. I was supposed to have spoken last week, but like so many others of us, I got sort of caught up in some little bug that was going around, and it took a little bit of time to flush it out of my system. So now I'm back, and we'll see what comes out of my mouth, because I have to tell you, whenever I get up to speak, I have no idea what's going to come out. So we'll just see. But when Reverend Connie asked me if I would speak, I started thinking about Black History Month and what it was for me. And every day is Black History Month for me. I mean, it's part of who I am. It's part of how I present in this world at this point in time. Now, lifetimes ago, who knows what I was, but now I am an African-American woman, and I live in North Carolina, which is a very interesting place to live if you're a Black person. And I say interesting because it is both filled with greatness and it is also filled with a lot of challenges. And you never know what you're going to get at any given moment. So I try to walk and live with grace and openness toward people. And I found that that has a way of bringing that back to me. And I wanted to talk about greatness today, because during Black History Month, we celebrate so many African Americans of note. And I started thinking about, in particular, we talk about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. a lot. But there are so many others, and if you ever catch any of my Facebook posts, you'll see that I keep posting things about notable African Americans and notable women, because we don't have that in our everyday mindset, if you will, in this society, because it's not presented to us as such. We are presented mostly with white male images, and the images of women we're presented with, for the most part, are also white, except they're sexualized, and they're not given, you know, much brain power or much, you know, notoriety or any of those things. So I started thinking about Martin Luther King Jr., and then from there I started thinking about Gandhi, because he was a student of Gandhi's. And then I thought about some of the notable historical people that I'm involved in helping keep their names alive. Pauli Murray is one. Pauli Murray is an Episcopal saint, and she's from Durham. She was from Durham, North Carolina. She was an attorney. She was an activist. And basically, she wrote what was then termed the Civil Rights Bible, if you will. It was the course of action that was followed during the Civil Rights Movement era, the first, it's still ongoing, folks, it's still ongoing, that led a lot of people like Thurgood Marshall and others in their forming their philosophy and their strategies. And this is somebody from Durham, North Carolina, who did that. But how many of us know who she is? We don't know who Pauli Murray was. And 2 years ago, the Episcopal Church elevated her to sainthood. And we still don't know who Pauli Murray is. But she was one of the greats. She was an incredible woman. And then, of course, we have those that we already know. We know quite a bit about Jesus as a great teacher, as a great model of excellence, and all of the things that he did. Well, some of the things that he did. A lot of the things that he did, we don't have any idea what they were. But we can get a good feel from the things that were written down how incredible he must have been in allowing greatness to come through him, flow from him, be as him. And the same with Buddha and Muhammad, Kuan Yin, and one of my favorites, Mary McLeod Bethune. And she was an activist in the 20s and 30s, and just another incredible woman. But they go on and on and on and on and on, and it led me to think and to understand that greatness is universal. It's universal. It's within everybody. It's within each of us. It's individualized. It expresses individually, but it's a universal quality that we all possess. There's not one of us that doesn't possess greatness, because we are emanations from the mind of God. That's how I like to think of it. And so we have the qualities of our Creator. And the quality, one of the biggest qualities, is greatness. How great thou art. We sing it all the time. We talk about it all the time. And we think, if we truly are a child of our Creator, we have that greatness within us. It's there. There's nothing that can be, can be taken from us. You know, it's inherent in our being. It's a quality of expression that we can give. We can express that if we choose. But many of us choose a different path, because the world, if you will, seems intent on folks thinking that they are less than they actually are, that we are less than the greatness that resides within each and every one of us. And so even though greatness is universal and it expresses individually, we won't give it expression a lot of times. But we have to become into our fullness. To come into our fullness, we have to express that. And some of the people who do that receive public acclaim. They actually, you know, they get their name written up in newspapers and in articles and things of that nature. And I have to say, I've had my fair share of that also. And it was quite a ride for the ego for a while. But what really touched me more about greatness are the people that I can give private gratitude to, because their greatness is what made me and helped me to become who I am today. It starts as a seed. We're born with it. I think I've pretty much covered that ground. We're born with this. It's in us, and it's our work in this lifetime to give it expression, to let it grow, to let it be seen by others, and to touch others with it. We come in with everything we need. Every single thing we need to live a life of greatness, we come in with it. I don't know about you, but when I look at little babies, I see their greatness, and they see their greatness too. I mean, babies are delighted with themselves. You know, they're delighted with their fingers. They're delighted with their toes. They're delighted with anybody who smiles at them. And that's because they see their greatness. And we give homage to their greatness. You can't have a baby around without everybody just sort of gravitating to the baby, because the baby is so great. And we get that sort of drummed out of us early on that we're not great, but we are great. We are great. And it has a lot to do with whether we have that seed planted in fertile soil or not. Now, a lot of us say, well, my folks didn't tell me I was great. You know, I didn't grow up in an environment that said that I was great. Well, I didn't either. I grew up in Ohio. I grew up out in the middle of cornfields. I grew up in cornfields. And we didn't have running water in the house. We didn't have a toilet inside the house. You had to go out back, and that curve-handled pump, you know, that you see on Gunsmoke and stuff, that's what I grew up with. I grew up with that in the 50s and 60s. It wasn't until I was a sophomore in high school that we got running water in the house. And I was a sophomore in college before my family got a bathroom put in the house. That's the past that I come from, you know. But all the while I was growing up, there were people along the way that said, keep going, keep going. You have something in you that should be shared. Keep going, keep going. And so sometimes it's not our family of origin that says that we're great. Sometimes those are not the people who can give it to us because of their own lives and the experiences that they've had that told them, no, you're not great. Hide your lamp under a bushel. Don't show your greatness. Many people confuse humility with not showing greatness. And they're two very different things. And I won't go down that path. I'll just let that be there. But some folks sort of have a false humility where they sort of try to shy away from any kind of appreciation. Or if someone says something to them or gives them a compliment, they can't take it in because earlier in their lives they were told, no, do not do that. That will just give you a big head. Well, we all need to be appreciated. And we all need to be appreciated because that brings the greatness out in us. It shows, it lets us shine our light even more. And sometimes we don't get that from our family. Sometimes we get that from what we would call our extended family. And I can tell you, I got a really, really big boost from someone that I considered part of my extended family. You know, she was the librarian for our high school, and she also drove the bookmobile in the summer. And I was in middle school, and this woman, Mrs. Campbell, decided that I had seeds of greatness in me, and she started bringing me books. She saw that I loved to read, and she brought me every single book she could find that was either about an African-American or written by an African-American. And she didn't care if this was college-level reading material or not. She brought it to me, and I didn't care whether it was or not. I read those books. I sat with a dictionary on one side of me and the book in one hand, and I went through those books because I thought if she was good enough to bring me these books and tell me that I needed to read this material, then I needed to read this material. And what it did was it just expanded me. It expanded me beyond Mosier Road. It expanded me beyond the coal stove in the living room that would belch black smoke and soot and stuff and halfway poison us many times. It expanded me beyond those cornfields. It said, you can go and do and be anything you want to be. And a lot of children don't get that, but I am so grateful that I got it. And every time I get a chance, I try to pass that on because that's the only way we grow. We grow by absorbing and by giving. And Mrs. Campbell, I thank her to this day. I don't know if she's still living even, but wherever she is, she's still going, and I know that. And she made such an impression on me as a child. I mean, I couldn't have been much higher than the side of this podium here. But she made it possible for me to get up off of Mosier Road, go to Wittenberg University, and then on to MIT and Harvard. That one woman believed in me enough for me to believe in myself and keep moving. So she was the fertile soil that my seed got planted in. And to this day, I thank her so much. But then that seed of greatness sprouts. And it doesn't sprout by itself. It sprouts in community. Community is so essential to greatness. Greatness cannot grow without community. People talk about pulling oneself up by the bootstrap. Well, the rugged individualist, all of that kind of thing. There's no such thing. I met a man in an airport once, and he was trying to convince me to the nth degree that he was the one that started his company. He was the one that grew it. He was the one that got himself to where he was today. And I just looked at him and I said, you had no help? And he said, no, I did it all myself. I said, you didn't have a mom or a dad? Well, yeah, they were there. You didn't have a grandma? Well, yeah, she was there. Yeah, she and grandpa were there. How about your aunts and uncles? Yeah, well, Uncle Fred gave me a few words of advice. Okay. And I started asking him just more and more of these questions. And I said, didn't you have a buddy? Didn't you have somebody that you bounced ideas off of? Well, yeah, I did. But he was so ingrained in his thought and his thinking and his ego that he had done this all by himself, that he couldn't see that he had been surrounded by an entire supportive community of people that made it possible for him to achieve all that he had achieved. Well, for me, coming from a family of 9 kids, I always knew that there was community, because that was what was in my house. All my sisters and brothers had all their little friends and stuff in the house, and there was always a crowd. And there would have been a crowd just with us, because our house was a converted garage, and just our sanctuary is far larger than the house that I grew up in. And but community was there. Community has always been something that I can't do without. When I find myself feeling isolated and alone, I wither. I feel it just in my spirit. My spirit starts withering, because I need you. I need community. I need community to grow. If I don't have you, I can't be. And I learned that early on, and I seek it out. And I'm so grateful for this chapel. I'm so grateful for each and every one of you here. And I think about you every day. I keep you in my prayers. And I try to be here as often as I can, because, you know, this is a community that means so much to me. And community is the connection of like minds and support. You get to grow through support. And that's when you get to have an authentic, and I wrote this down, authentic expression of self. And that's what I think of us as. We're individuals. We're individuals in community. And that's when the sense of true power within starts showing up. It shows up when you're in community, because you're in support, and you get to flourish and grow and stretch your stuff or whatever it is, and people go, go on, go on, go on, keep going, keep going, keep going. And for me, one of the first times that I really realized what community did and can do was when I met Coretta Scott King. I met her when I was 17 years old. My high school boyfriend, his father was her music teacher in college, and they had formed a special bond. So I was invited to go over to my boyfriend's house for dinner one night, not knowing that, you know, I just thought, hey, you know, I'm going to go to dinner. And I go to dinner, and my boyfriend's father says, I want to introduce you to Mrs. King, Coretta Scott King. You could have knocked me over. You could have knocked me over. This was 6 months before her husband was assassinated. And I was sitting in a dining room in Yellow Springs, Ohio, with this great woman of incredible presence, but love. She just beamed love. I had never been around anybody like that before. You know, I had been around people who stood at podiums and gave great speeches and rocked my world and all of those kinds of things, but I had never been in the presence of that type of greatness. And from there on out, whenever I think about Martin Luther King Jr., I think about Coretta Scott King, because he couldn't have become who he was without her. There is just no way. Without her at his side, I don't believe that he could have led such a movement and done so many great things. It was just incredible to meet her. But she was a sprout for me. I was sprouting. And she was a part of the community. She let me know, like Mrs. Campbell let me know, that there was a larger world. There was a bigger arena. There was more to be, more to come. And I am so grateful for that. I am so grateful for that. And so grateful then moves into its fullness. It's something that, when it can be seen within everyone, you start getting a sense of your own greatness when you can look at anybody, anywhere, and see their greatness. You know, what has happened in my life is that I don't make any differentiation between the person who is struggling with an addiction standing on the corner asking me for quarters and someone standing in a position of great power, the mayor of a city or anyone else like that. To me, those people are the same. We're all on our own journeys. We're on journeys to greatness. We're in movement toward greatness. We're allowing greatness to come through us, come into us, to be us. It's something bigger than ourselves. It's got to be bigger than ourselves, because it's got to be bigger than our ego. And ego takes up a lot of space for the most part. You know, it's hard to get away from ego. I mean, it's just there. I mean, it's something that started out as a way to help us survive and get away from those saber-toothed tigers, and then it just sort of started taking over, you know, and I struggle with my ego. I do struggle with ego because on one hand, I can look at how I look on paper and I can go, oh, wow, you know, oh, watch out now, you know. And I go, well, that's just my ego talking. I have to ask myself, who did I love today? Who did I share with today? You know, who did I help along the way today? Who helped me today? Those are the bigger questions. Those are far bigger than, did I do that courthouse? Did I do that whatever building? Did I get to sit on this jury or that panel or whatever? You know, there are bigger questions to be asked. And when I do that, my ego gets right-sized. You know, it helps me drive my car, my truck. My ego helps me drive my truck. And sometimes when it gets out of control, I yell at people while I'm driving the truck. But in general, it just helps me drive the truck. You know, and I thank it for that. I don't thank it when I'm yelling at people and I try to calm it down, because that just moves you toward a point of where nobody wins. And so, but the one thing that I'm learning about greatness, and I'm hoping that will become more and more of my life, is that every great person I have ever studied says that they are used by God. That is not them, but it is that greater essence that is guiding their life, that is opening and giving voice to their words. It is that which is within them that is coming through them and acting as them. That is when greatness comes into its fullness. And I just love that idea. And I love that thought, and I hope someday to be able to live in that way. And play big. Play big. Stop playing small. You know, if we have all this greatness within us, if we have all this love and compassion and desire to share, don't hide it. Don't hide your light. Shine your light. Let it go. Let it blossom. Pay attention to it and nurture it. Nurture that inner light that's within you. Be in service. Be in service to community. We have a wonderful community here. We can grow it if we choose in many different ways. We can let our light shine so much that people driving down the highway will just turn their car into the parking lot. They won't know why, but they'll just say, I've got to go there. I've always wondered what this place was about. I've got to go see what's going on. And it's because as we grow and let our light shine, we become more attractive. You know, it's people talk about the law of attraction. Well, that's what it is. It's allowing our light to shine and allowing ourselves to serve the community, and then through that to go on and serve the world. And looking for others who are a vibrational match. That's what I feel when I come here. I feel that we're a vibrational match. And so I stay in gratitude to that. I try to stay in gratitude and count my blessings every day. And at night, I try to do a gratitude list at night and a gratitude list in the morning. In the morning, I do my gratitude list on my computer with my morning pages. And at night, I just lie in bed and I say prayers and prayers of gratitude for all the wonderful things that have happened to me that day and all the beautiful people who have graced my life. I am so grateful for all of you, for all of you. And I want to leave you with something that is written by Marianne Williamson, but it's a part of the speech that Nelson Mandela gave in 1994, a part of his inaugural speech. And I hope that this inspires you as much as it inspires me, because I keep this framed on the wall in my office, and it's right at the door to my office, so I see it when I leave out to go back into the world. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small doesn't serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. Be blessed. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.